This is .NET Cast with hosts Mark Baker and Nick Hemdahl.
Sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.
And now introducing your host for .NET Cast, Mark Baker.
Welcome to .NET Cast. I'm your host, Mark Baker. Thanks for joining us again. With me tonight is my co-host, Nick Hemdahl. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Mark. We're going to have another great show tonight on .NET. And don't forget, you can always find us on the web at www.ddj.com/podcast/.NET Cast/.
In this episode, Microsoft Patterns and Practices development lead Peter Provost starts off talking about the separation of views and presenters as a way of organizing a CAB-based application.
But basically it says that things that belong in the view only should be in the view only, and things that are coordinating between the view and the model and the rest of the application should be in another class, and that other class is the presenter or is the controller. And if we do it well, we should be able to make that class be completely be reasonably ignorant of the concrete implementation of the view. So we like to separate those out via an interface. So we can then test that presenter in isolation, which we find really helps improve our testability of our user interfaces without having to write those very fragile screen scraping style test tools.
Yeah, that's like, I think to me that's, I mean, I guess for me personally, that's critical to get that in trying to understand MVP and the way that SCSF has packaged that up, because I mean, that's the backbone of it. The reason that the big advantage with the presenters and splitting that out for the views is that you end up with essentially now something we've always hoped for, which is a piece of UI code that we can unit test. That it's, you know, unit tests are easy for the business entities of things that don't have any UI, but trying to test that push buttons are doing what they're supposed to and checkboxes and grids and whatnot, it was really hard. And people have come up with all kinds of crazy ways to do that with third-party tools. And this is a nice way of integrating into your architecture, that ability.
Yeah, you still end up with some code up in the view. I always aim for getting that code down to the smallest bit that I can get away with.
Yeah.
And so that I can basically unit test it by inspection, right? I can look at it by eye and say, okay, that can't fail. So I try to pull as much code as I can out into the presenter or other supporting classes as I can.
So in the presenter, is it? Who does the notifications? Like, I mean, when my use case is done, I mean, is it the view? Is it the presenter? Or does it matter?
Typically, the only person who does anything CAB-like is the presenter, right? The view does nothing more than respond to messages sent from the presenter, and I use messages in the object-oriented sense, apologies, respond to method calls from the presenter, and make calls back into the presenter. So the presenter will tell the view what to do and listen to the view talk. Nobody else should be talking to or hearing from the view. That's an important distinction to make because we want to, like I said, we want to try to keep that view isolated because that view may need to be replaced, may need to be recoded. Your presentation technology may change, and it would be nice to not have to think about that stuff. So when somebody clicks on a button, typically what you're going to see in my code is you will see an event handler inside of the view, inside of that user control, that immediately says presenter dot the user did something. And then the presenter can make decisions about what that means. And that may mean spinning off new work items, raising CAB events, loading modules, saving things or loading things from the database. And then it may mean pushing new information back into that view or showing other views.
You know, I had an interesting problem last week, which is that actually a control I created that is actually within a .NET assembly. And it's a toolbox type of GUI control that you can drop on your form. It's actually a component. And the component actually sends out a CAB event when it's actually part of the help system. And there's another module that handles the event and does what it needs to do. But of course, the challenge is that the event doesn't get wired up unless it's added to a work item, right? So you think, well, yeah, that's no big deal. I'll just add it to a work item. But the problem is that widget is actually part of the view because it's on the form. So then you're sort of faced with, well, does the presenter ask the view for something that maybe the view is the only thing that should know about, which is this toolbox control, or does the view ask the presenter for the work item and actually add the control to the work item that way? And so there's sort of a tension there as to where should that logic go?
Well, let me give you a little, I'll let you in on a little secret.
Okay.
There's an attribute in cab that gets a lot of attention for all the wrong reasons, and it's called smart part. So the smart part attribute is basically a way of telling cab that this user control
right.
needs to get added to a work item.
Ah.
So what you want to do is you want to go to that user control's code and put the smart part attribute on it. And then when that user control exists inside of the shell or inside of a view that itself is getting loaded up into cab, the object builder will process it looking for that attribute. And when it finds views with that attribute, it will add them to the work item for you.
Ah, so that's what I needed.
Problem solved.
Problem solved. Talk to the right man.
Send a bill.
One of the things I noticed, I've been actually monitoring the weekly releases of this of the Software Factory, and you guys have just been cranking stuff out with it and the reference implementation. But as I was going through the README and reading about different things you've added, one of the things that jumped out at me was the notion, some notion you've come up with called a controlled work item. And you mentioned in there that there's a something that's popped out of the reference simple implementation as a new concept, a new notion of a work item. So what is the difference between a controlled work item and a work item?
Yeah, well, if you consider the discussion we had a few minutes ago about separating the presenter out of a view, this is a similar force. And this was that we recognized that we were making strongly typed work items that had a kind of coordinating logic in them. And that coordinating logic was doing similar kinds of things that we see in a presenter when we're doing MVP. Except instead of manipulating view, it was manipulating the work item. And so we recognized that this code, again, was becoming hard to test. It was making the work item itself very, very multi-purpose. And I much prefer my classes to be very single-minded.
Right.
And so we said, well, let's see what we can do here. And so we created a work item that wraps up a controller. And that controller was responsible for coordinating the work item. And it lets the work item continue to be a scoping container and all those other things that we talked about earlier. And that coordinating processing logic is now pulled out into an independent component that is responsible just for that one thing. And it makes it a lot easier to test and to inspect and to maintain over time.
That's great. It gets some insight into, I guess, how you're evolving, actually, the Software Factory as your reference implementations are coming along. So maybe you could talk just a briefly bit about those. What are you guys doing with the reference implementations, and how do you see them evolving? And how you know when you're going to be done with them?
That's a great question. So, you know, the reference implementations are meant for us to put ourselves in the shoes of our customers and build applications on this stuff. I am a strong believer that best frameworks are extracted from running applications and not the other way around. So one of the things we're doing here is we're building applications on our existing blocks because people are asking us, how do I bring cab and Entlib together? How do I bring this and that together? So we're putting ourselves in their shoes to do that. We're also, you know, always on the lookout for new places that we can add value by maybe extracting a new block, extracting a how-to guide, or whatever else from this bit of working code. So at this point, we have two reference implementations inside of the Software Factory. And, you know, when we're looking into the future at the problems that we see still out there in the community building these apps, there is room for more. Will we be doing them, and when we'll be doing them? I don't really know right now. You know, we're still kind of in the planning stages for the next part of the project. Our plan at this point is to kind of wrap up reference implementations 1 and 2 within the next month or so. And then we're going to kind of take two steps back, look around, meet with our customers and our community and say, okay, what should we do next? Where should we go? What problems do we best need to address? And it wouldn't surprise me to find that more reference implementations are required.
Are you thinking that SDSF is going to continue to evolve over this year? Or are you guys looking at wrapping it up, so to speak, in version 1 or whatever? I guess sort of a point of time is saying it's done, it's ready to go. We're going to move on to other things, but, you know, we'll come back as needed.
Yeah, I mean, we will do a drop, and we will call it some sort of an RTM or ready to market kind of a thing. But the project proceeds as the community and as we feel it adds value. And so, moving into the next fiscal year for us, We will continue with the SF project as long as people are finding that we're bringing value to the table, and as long as it's an effective way for us to be spending, you know, our limited dollars. We really want to make sure that we're helping people do the right thing here. And the Smart Client space is still one of a lot of interest, and there's still a lot of interesting problems for us to look at as we move into the next year.
Before we move on, give us a quick key lesson, I guess, you guys have learned from the reference implementation. I mean, what surprised you about how it's evolved for you guys in the CAB technology and SCSF? Things maybe that you didn't expect or something that sort of jumped out at you as a surprise?
I'm sorry, try that question again for me.
Sure. What was a key lesson of the reference implementation so far for you guys? I mean, something that you went, wow, that was something we didn't expect, or something that we learned that was new about the software factory technology and CAB itself.
Well, we've learned a lot of interesting things. We've learned how much GATT and GAX make it easier to do Visual Studio. if you look at some of the things we talked earlier about work item.
Right.
And about how, you know, a work item, it should be thought of primarily as a scoping container and not primarily as a use case, although, of course, there's a natural mapping there. Those learnings are learnings that have happened as a part of the reference implementations. As we've been building applications, we've kind of made adjustments to our own thinking about our own work. You know, how we are expressing things, like the controlled work item is a very obvious one that has popped out. How we think about foundational modules, those modules that change the environment for modules that load later. These things are all a result of the reference implementation, and if we hadn't done the reference implementations, we wouldn't have found them. Another one is kind of some of the learnings we've been doing around how to wrap up web services and things like that you're going to see much better defined in reference implementation too. But we also acknowledge that there's still a lot of work to do in that area.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Are you taking into account like WCF and that stuff?
Well, yeah, one of the things we're trying to do is as we look into, you know, the next year, is to say, what can we do around WCF, around WPF, around workflow, and how can we best provide guidance for that stuff in Smart Client, in Web Client, in mobile, as those technologies ship, because, you know, they're all coming very soon, as those technologies ship and roll out. We're trying to think about what's the right guidance for us to give and what's the right approach for us to take to do that. I would hope to see some reference implementations on that lead us in the right direction, but we're not really fully decided on that yet.
Has any been thought given to like the Office 2007 UI redesign, which, you know, is completely new to what they're doing with that suite, and how that might intersect with some of the things that are coming out of P&P with the software factory and you know, organization of menus and how modules are going to snap into the UI and whatnot.
Yeah, from what I can tell, looking at the Office UI, it's mostly a change in the way the user perceives it.
Right.
When you look at it, you're still basically seeing user interface elements that are meant to execute commands. Now, they're organized very differently. They're discovered very differently. And I think that's actually the key learning that team made, is their discoverability is vastly improved. But still, they're basically grouped chunks of command execution elements. And I think we will find that the CAB UI extension sites and commands and things like that are very compatible with that once we all have the right widgetry and WinForms to let us do that.
Well, this has been great, Peter. We've had a great time talking with you about Smart Clients and CAB and the Software Factory. And we really appreciate you coming on the show. And thanks again.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's all for this episode of .NET Cast. Send us an email at .NETcast@sunburstsoftware.com and let us know what you think of the show. Take care, everybody.
The opinions expressed on .NETcast are solely those of the participants and not necessarily those of its sponsors or CMP Media, its partners, or employees. .NETcast is a CMP DevNet podcast and is produced by Sunburst Software at sunburstsoftware.com. Additional production support has been provided by Digital Context at digitalcontext.com. CMP DevNet is solely responsible for the content of .NETcast.
Sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.